Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, here we are live. It's Wednesday, the 14th day of December, 2011. And the news just gets more insane by the day. Congressman Issa, the guy that's now said he's not going to move forward with trying to impeach or prosecute the attorney general over law enforcement, federal law enforcement, a total criminal on record, a serial perjurer, a false flag terrorist who has been caught red-handed shipping guns into Mexico, cocaine back into the country. That's in all the federal court hearings. It's admitted. To blame the Second Amendment, that's all public. And Issa said a week ago, I guess a week and a half ago, well, it's up to Obama now if you're going to be fired. I've done my investigation. You lied. And Holder was arrogant in the hearings and didn't care and pointed out that Bush ran similar operations. And so the Republican Party says back off because they're involved in it all as well. And so even if Issa himself isn't involved in all this, the Republican Party says stand down, they stand down, and now the sky is the limit of what Holder can do. You know, they had a big phone takeover drill a few days ago that scared everybody in New Jersey when the government hijacked their phones. They spun it to say, oh, it was just the provider that did it. But now government fear-mongering alerts to go live tomorrow in test cities like New York, where they're going to break in over your phone. And the government said it won't just be text in the future. Your phone call will be disconnected, or whatever you're doing on your little handheld computer, that smart device, and it will be videos of the president or videos of the police chief, and at Walmarts and malls and on street corners, big telescreens saying, trust no one but government. I mean, these are already going in at thousands of locations. Only trust your loving government. I mean, it's like they went and got some dystopic science fiction movie of a nightmare police state future and said, let's just have it be outrageous and do it. So here is the Daily Caller, Congressman Issa. Privacy bill would give Holder broad new powers to police the internet. Yeah, the Washington Post, The Hill, they all admit it's, quote, Chinese-style model of censorship, communist Chinese government style. And they admit that it is a free speech kill switch. That's one headline. And that there's no due process, and the government and private corporations can just shut down anything they want. And they've already admittedly been grabbing sites, many of which that are totally innocent, but are destroyed. $1 million sites. Because in a message board, somebody links to a place where there's some copyright music or a copyright article, and then none of it's even proven. This is another form of their tyranny. Internet taxes, internet tracking, all of this is now unfolding. So that's just one of the articles we have. We have a gentleman that comes highly recommended from Oath Keepers, who's a former East German government individual, and he is going to be talking about the parallels with what's happening here in the United States. A member of Texas Oath Keepers, was a lieutenant colonel in the East German Army when communism collapsed and the Berlin Wall came down in 89. So he can tell you all about the Stasi and the rest of it. He's going to be in studio because he lives in Texas. And then, of course, we have Max Kaiser joining us in 30 minutes. The rats are leaving the sinking ship. On the case of MF Global, I'll give you that good news. On the other side, I saw this at Zero Hedge last night up at Infowars.com. We had it linked. I saw it this morning in the Financial Times of London. Yesterday, during another one of the congressional testimonies, the head of the CME group decided to not go down with the ship. And he went ahead and blew the whistle on Mr. Corzine. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Here we are, my friends, defending basic Bill of Rights and Constitution, defending our republic against enemies foreign and domestic. It is Wednesday, the 14th day of December, 2011. And we have another just incredibly important broadcast lined up. You know, I've tuned into older archives of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 16 years ago. And I didn't start most broadcasts saying a very important transmission today. And I said that sometimes, and it's always important. But now, who can deny the news just gets wilder and crazier every day? World developments are coming so quick. The world is in so much turmoil and upheaval and on the edge of major multi-region wars. They call those world wars, by the way, that words really cannot describe how amazing what's happening is. Now, let me just mention the news that's coming up. And you know I can never do this. I get into the first article and then basically stall out and start getting into that report. But let me just mention it here. New Haven mayor says give illegal aliens right to vote in city elections. That's also not just happening in Connecticut, but New York and New Jersey and California. And the Justice Department's behind it. And they're going to give all 30 million illegals the right to vote. And then the right to bring their entire family here, and it's a coup. And the illegals for welfare have said they will vote on average for total gun bans, private property being taken, the bankers' checkmate. They've also tried this in Europe. The illegals get free health care. They get, on reports I've seen in Texas, more than half the school lunches are for illegals. It's two-thirds in California. The free welfare, all of it. And illegals know how to work the system. They actually... on average, I've seen the breakdowns, you can pull them up, the Justice Department admits it, they go out and do get jobs and then go under two or three aliases and get welfare. And then they're so entitled and actually so filled with the victim psychology and a liberation theology by the Ford Foundation-run government that they actually believe that they're entitled to more and they're going to vote for it. And the big collectivist government is going to give it to them. And the paralyzed American population, no matter what color your race, color, or creed is, you are to be nailed to the wall and sucked dry. And then the country will implode into third world destruction, and the illegals will have all their goodies cut off. And if they go out and protest, they'll be machine gunned by the paramilitary police, just like they are in Mexico. And that's what's going on, period. So I'm going to get into that. Again, here it is, NBC, New Haven asked state to allow non-citizens to vote. Criminals who get in-state tuition in most states. You don't have a big heart if you don't do that. I'm going to break this down more. Of course, I don't get to go to Mexico and say, can I have in-state tuition? I would be laughed at. The police would line me up, break my nose, and say, we're going to put you in jail, Guero, gringo, and then we're going to take every bit of money out of your bank account, and you're never leaving this prison. And our media wouldn't say a word. The State Department wouldn't say a word. If they did, they'd say, that's what a piece of trash white person deserves. Of course, they do it to Hispanic Americans as well. Asian, doesn't matter. Because we are trash. There is a belief that we are here to be walked on. Americans are the enemy. Americans are garbage. And the bankers have helped foster this idea and teach it in school, where from Texas to California, you cannot wear an American flag on your shirt. You will be kicked out of school because it is offensive. And you're okay, so that's coming up. And again, it's all sold as humanitarianism. Humanitarianism. Here's another one. Wisconsin faces lawsuit as civil rights groups cry foul over new voting rules. ACLU accuses the state of trying to disenfranchise black people, the poor and elderly, by requiring photo ID before they can vote. Well, that's not enough. Here in Texas, they give illegals driver's license on record. I've had Art Aceveda in studio before, the police chief, saying, well, we need to be able to track these people and have them in the system. And with that, the bank account, everything. And again, no other country in the world does this. Total red carpet, and now what are people saying? This is Mexico. We're taking over. And who's teaching it? Fortune 100. Big banks. Who's pushing it? Because they want to break this country up. And we're right at the tipping point. right as we go into bankruptcy, right as we implode, right as the narco-terrorism pours across the border. It's all happening. And as the government ships guns into Mexico, on record, as I told you 2 years ago, we even had a state senator on who'd seen the secret documents at the state level to have Mexico implode and use that to declare martial law in the Southwest. This is all a plan to destroy Mexico and the U.S. and Canada. People better figure this out. The globalists, the same ones that go in and kill a million Iraqis, same ones that put al-Qaeda in control of Libya, same ones destabilizing Africa, the policy is destabilization and stopping countries from industrializing. That's the UN policy. That's the State Department Memorandum 200 policy. It's order out of chaos. It's destroy everybody while playing us off against each other. And it's outrageous. Continuing here, I'm going to get into this report. Here it is. Obama hauls Arizona before UN Human Rights Council. Remember that from last year? This is the type of stuff. The feds won't enforce their own federal laws, and they won't let the states enforce laws, and total lawlessness is here. But wait, it gets worse, and I'll get into the big news. Of course, you heard on Monday we reported on the LA Times article about Air Force Predator drones tracking citizens in rural areas under the North American Rural Council. We don't have 50 governors anymore. We have 10 governors appointed by FEMA. And under the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, it says for insurrection against the other states. But the governor council will speak, that they will arrest governors if need be. Just, you saw it in Europe when the presidents and prime ministers wouldn't hand their country over and waive all their rights on debts they didn't owe. They were removed by the militaries quietly in places like Greece. The military was on standby, and they put a Goldman Sachs operative, one of the former heads of the ECB, European Central Bank, in charge. Same thing in Italy. Same thing in Greece. They are, and then they admit it. It's the same thing here. NORTHCOM and our military individually are good people on average, but they're run by foreign banks publicly. And after they're done imploding Europe, you see Europe imploding. We told you that years ago. Who's next? Who's next? Everybody says Asia is invincible and going to fall. The globalists are going to bring Asia down while bringing us down a little slower. And then North America's last. And boy, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. And the open announcement of world government run by six megabanks with Goldman Sachs as the commander. I liken it to the frontline field marshal or the Darth Vader to the Emperor Palpatine. That's J.P. Morgan Chase, who they literally take their orders from. That's it. You want to know the New World Order? Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. You want to know who owns it? Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Queen of England, Queen of the Netherlands. Publicly. You want to know who wants open borders? They do. You want to know who wants your guns? They do. And again, you can't argue with the fact these illegals, now already voting all over the country. The state of Texas is like, okay, we're going to need to check citizenship, you know, with the ID before you can vote. And the Justice Department was here yesterday. The guy that ships guns into Mexico to kill thousands, the guy that ships cocaine to the U.S., the mastermind of Oklahoma City, he's here. And he says, we may bring the UN in, and we're going to stop the state from checking. I mean, this is the treason of these people. Admitted criminals. But don't worry. The military is for you, the American people. In fact, we can pull this up on screen. It'd be great to show PrisonPlanet.tv viewers this. Radio listeners, just type in, meet the North Dakota family of anti-government separatists busted by cops using a Predator drone. After, quote, stealing six cows. And people are commenting in this story correctly. They are getting it right. They are understanding exactly what's going on. The commenters are like, all over the United States and state law and common law, if people's cows come onto your property, because you own them. And that goes back to the damage they cause and the trouble and you not keeping your fences up. That's an old common law thing, a possession being nine-tenths. So the police show up and demand to be let onto the property, and the family says no. And the family gets all upset and reportedly had firearms in their vehicles. So they call in the Air Force and the drone and Homeland Security, and it tracks the evil family who are anti-government, and the SWAT team raids them. Again, all sorts of crime, all sorts of corruption. The Houston Chronicle reported, what was it, 4 years ago, that 250,000 illegal aliens were released in Texas in 1 year out of the jails, many of which were aggravated felons. And it listed it arson, rape, armed robbery, all of it. And they were released. They were released. Oh, but don't worry, the North Dakota family, and if you put the article up on screen, you can scroll down, we can see these evil people who, by the way, didn't have any criminal record. These evil people who said, look, there are cows, they keep busting through the fence and coming over here. They have a 3,000-acre farm, and the cows keep eating their farm vegetables, and that's where, and under law, you can take them. Quite frankly, my grandfather had some bulls that would jump fences, and the neighbor, after a couple times, went ahead and took them. And my grandfather never even went and asked for him. He knew. So the neighbor doesn't offer to give him back. I understand. I need to fix that fence. But nowadays, well, you just call in the predator drone. How many millions of dollars does that cost? Again, because they've passed in the Senate. We've got, now they're trying to pass it tomorrow in the House, in the conference, or it goes to Lord Obama's desk, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. And when we come back, I'm going to get into that. 40 members of House protest indefinite detention bill, and we reportedly have until tomorrow, because the House already passed one version, the Senate did. Now it's in conference. They're looking at both pieces of it and trying to integrate it, and then it'll go to the president. We need to say no to this. And by the way, now you've got the senators who've been involved in it. Graham, McCain, and others coming out and saying, yes, it affects citizens, and Obama, here's the memo, asked it be added that it be for U.S. citizens. You see? Well, the ACLU tells you Obama's against it. By the way, again, most of the family living on this farm there in North Dakota didn't have a criminal record. The dad gets arrested for, you know, at the checkpoints for not having his papers in order, and they had arrested him for not reporting the stray cattle that came onto your property. And I've looked up the North Dakota law. It's the same all over the country. He didn't have to give the cattle back. They came on his property, on his farm. Anybody who's been involved in farming and ranching knows this. So they show up without warrants, demand their way onto the property. And that's when the family said, no, you don't have a warrant, get out of here. So they summoned the $154 million MQ-9 Predator B drone from nearby Grand Forks Air Force Base. And it's got the cops, and they're going, we got great intelligence from the military. Intelligence on us, I know. Your dinner, your slaves, I understand. Don't worry, though. The whole country's going to collapse, just like you parasites want. Okay? It's all going to fall apart. Your whole family's future, you're going to be judged by your own evil. And it's going to be like a third world country. There'll be nothing for you to suck off of anymore, no matter how rich this country was. And the articles are all, they lived on the 3,000-acre family farm the police call a compound because they had different houses on it. Oh, my gosh, the father and his wife and the three sons and some of their wives live there farming. And of course, we had an ADL report yesterday we covered on the nightly news, and Paul Watson wrote about it at Infowars.com, a secret meeting with citizens in the sheriff's department about small government terrorists. And the manual says if people are talking about small government, report them. They're terrorists. They're these people that believe in freedom and private property and guns. They've got tractors. They know how to grow things. They've got guns. Homeland Security, ADL. Save me. In fact, I covered that on the nightly news. Will you guys reprint me that article? Headline, secret sheriff's meeting for small government terrorist. And it's got the manual right there on the article. About there's these people, they want small government. The ADL's like, oh, law enforcement, the citizens are there at the secret meeting. Sheriff, how do we deal with these people? They're talking to neighbors. They say they have a right to freedom. Get them! Get them! Oh, ADL, Foreign Intelligence Operation of Israel. What do we do about these evil Americans? I mean, that's what this country has become. And you read this article, meet the Brossards, a North Dakota family deemed so dangerous the local sheriff needed to unleash an unmanned predator drone to help bring them in. the Brossards' alleged crime. They wouldn't give back three cows and their calves that wandered onto their 3,000-acre farm this summer. The same aerial vehicles used by the CIA to track down and assassinate terrorists and militants in Pakistan and Afghanistan are now being deployed by cops to spy on Americans in their own backyards. But don't videotape a cop in public. They'll have a pick-kept jury put your butt in prison for life, or they'll sure try. Prison for life. And they'll sit there with a straight face and tell the judge, I want them to go to prison. The judge is like, you bet we want them to. What do you think, in America you're going to videotape us in the city street? You don't do nothing but pay our salary, slave. Continuing here with the article, it goes on. The Brossards are the first known suspects of the high-flying new surveillance technology that the federal government has made available to some local sheriffs and police chiefs, all without congressional approval or search warrants. We don't need no stinking congressional approval to launch wars or shut down coal power plants or have UN oversee elections or do whatever we want, or kill U.S. citizens. That's what Obama said. I don't need to sign your bill. But if you're going to pass it, you better add American citizens in there. The Republicans are like, you bet we hate them as much as you do. He's like, good job. Keep conning them. Keep acting like we're fighting with each other. Try to get that Ringer Gingrich in there. How's that sound? They're like, you bet we'll get that job done. I'm going to play like I'm against it, though. They're like, that's a good way to fool the slaves. Yeah. I mean, they just know exactly what they're doing. And you've got all your excuses of why you do all this and why you need all the surveillance and violate our rights, how it's all for the good of America. Everybody knows in their gut it's pure baloney. Okay? Everybody knows, and it's going to get 10 times worse. Local authorities, not servants, authorities say that the family are known for being armed. Oh, my God, farmers that are armed. Anti-government separatist whose sprawling farm. Oh, that's really evil. Remember what the entire Homeland Security behind the closed doors training is. We've got the manuals. It's all about country boys that can survive. If you can skin a buck and run a trot line, the Pentagon. I've been to the drills. I've made films. And let me tell you, they're training to take on farmers and ranchers and people wearing John Deere hats in the drills. And they practice when they capture you, putting you on the ground and blowing your head off. I got it on video, Police State 2000. You wearing a John Deere hat, you like the Second Amendment, you like George Washington, the New World Order is training the military and police that you're a demon. You think I'm joking? This isn't satire. I got footage of cops pulling people over. They've got a citizen rule book, and they start heavy breathing and have to rest on the car in fear, going, I can't believe we found one, boss. I can't believe we found one.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Max Keiser is going to be with us about 15, 20 minutes in the next hour. He's going to join us here in about 5 minutes, and then go right through in the next hour. And we're going to open the phones up next hour for Max, and then continuing into the third hour when a former East German colonel, army colonel, who's a part of Oath Keepers, is going to be here to join us in studio. He lives here in Texas now break down the horrors of collectivism and the police state. They hired Marcus Wolf 8 years ago to help set up what is Homeland Security today. He's since died. He was the former head of the Stasi. And when I first saw that in the news, I didn't believe it. And I actually went to the congressional Homeland Security funding numbers, and he was paid over $1 million a year for at least 3 years consecutively after that to help set up everything. That's why you're like, wow, it's just like the Stasi, you know, the biggest police state ever known in East Germany. It was kind of like the Nazis merged with communism. Talk about a nightmare situation. And that's because that's what it is. Now, if you heard me ranting there, it's because I'm in a lot of pain. I mean, it's all coming true. I know where this goes next. I've got chills now every 5 seconds, not every, 2 weeks or something. I'm having bad chills right now. Chills of my body saying, danger, Will Robinson, danger. And I know how they slowly have trained the police and military to accept all this. And now they're rolling out the use of NORTHCOM against the people right as they get ready to start imploding the world economy. You think things are bad so far. This is just the preparatory phase. We'll put on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers an article that went up yesterday evening That's a problem with Infowars.com is we write so much and do so much research that there's updates at 6 a.m., 10 a.m. or so, noon, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And Watson tends to be working at midnight over in England, which is 6 o'clock here, Central. And that's when that article went up, was later in the afternoon, his time. Our time, nighttime, his time, it didn't get much attention. It's big. Sheriff's Department sponsors secret meeting on small government terrorists. We've got the ADL training manual there with the mayors and the local constabulary to literally make them feel like they're part of the authority system. And they sit there with straight face and bad mouth people that talk about cutting government in any way are what they call terrorists. And we can click on it and actually show you the manual there that the ADL gives them. And I see this in our local news. The ADL is advising police and schools. And then you find out they're training the school kids to spy on their parents and stuff. I mean, it's so over the top that this is going on. Investigative researcher and director of Special Projects ADL. Location, Carmelo, California. The sovereign citizen movement is a loosely organized collection of groups and individuals who have adopted a right-wing anarchist ideology. You mean they're not slaves? You mean they're like the founders? Its adherents believe that virtually all existing government in the United States is illegitimate, and they seek to restore an idealized minimalist government that never actually existed. Oh, really? Sovereign citizens wage war against the government and other forms of authority. Yeah, info war, using paper terrorism, I mean, pro se, winning all. Oh, let's stop right there. You know, and we're about to go to Max Kaiser. I remember 16 years ago, pro se people, lawyers who'd woken up and others coming to me and saying, there aren't real mortgages. It's illegal. They put them in an electronic filing system. This mirror system is illegal. They're selling them in derivatives. And I had to go research because it sounded so crazy. And George Humphrey, an economist, former city council guy, he told me about it. But I remember ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center stuff just 3 years ago saying there are crazy people that claim the mortgages have been sold over and over again and that they're taking houses that they don't have mortgages to. It is paper terrorism. And I remember seeing articles where, in one case, it was Wisconsin. I forget because I had the guy's wife on. He's since gone to jail and been real sick in there. But the point is, I forget his name. We need to pull it up. He was in a wheelchair. And they took his house that was paid for through this fraud. And when he sued them over it, they arrested him, charged him with some paper terrorism thing because the judges and everybody are so evil. And he went to jail. I think it was for 14 years. Anyways, I just had another remembrance here of just how evil it is. And they sit there. But see, now it doesn't work. But do the cops remember? I know there's cops all over the country listening. Do you remember just 3 or 4 years ago and before that being taught these dangerous crazies claim the mortgages are a fraud and they don't owe them? You know, that's how they lie to you. They say that you don't owe anything on your mortgage. Aren't they crazy? And the cops, I've got training videos of it, all go, you know, we've aired them here. They are nuts. The banks wouldn't take houses they didn't have the deed to. That's crazy. Now it's all over thousands of newspapers admitted. We knew what we were talking about again. Now, are there people out there who try to investigate the law themselves and don't know what they're filing or how they're filing it, or kooky groups that, you know, file bonds and demand $10 million from the government? Yeah, there's some of that. But the vast majority of it is real and legitimate. And it's people, even in their own manuals, they say that are losing everything and who are desperate. I mean, what are you supposed to do? They're coming to take your little house, your little farm, but you can't pay the property taxes? They're just going to give it to some big bank that you've already bailed out with your tax money and it happens? All right, we're going to Max Kaiser. The point is that it's all happening. It's all coming down. And as they squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and as 11% of Texas has arrest warrants out for them, and as the government can engage in any crime they want. I mean, look at that quote right there. Look at that quote right there. Where they said they believe the government's illegitimate. Well, the founders did the Declaration of Independence. Everything that the British government was doing is exactly what our government is doing, and but more. Our government is shipping guns into Mexico and drugs back into the country, and it's in all the federal filings and was filing in the New York Times 2 Sundays ago. Our government's caught perjuring itself. Our government's been caught running white slavery, sex slavery worldwide. Mainstream news. I mean, the British were doing all sorts of corrupt stuff and insider deals and taxes and things, but they weren't giving 10,000 guns to the Indians to then attack their own settlers, to take the settlers' guns. I mean, you read the Declaration of Independence, everything they list, the government's doing today. Go read it. But then more. I mean, was Hitler illegitimate? You know, they had a big debate in Philadelphia a month ago. The BBC headline was, is the Declaration of Independence illegal? And they actually had newspapers in the U.S. come out and say, no, and agree it's illegal, as the BBC said, because you're not allowed to tell a sovereign government it's ever wrong. Really, then Stalin, Mao, Hitler, they were all good. Caligula was good. Every monster's been good. No, we all know that's not the case. And so, yes, you are illegitimate. The government has given $27-plus trillion of our tax money to mega banks that sold fraudulent derivatives. Our country is run by these banks. Europe is publicly run by them now. It's illegitimate. And so the ADL's running around everywhere teaching the police that we're terrorists because we're telling people this and that our words are terrorism. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, and I apologize to Max having him hold 8 minutes. I'm going to go to him now. I just had to get to that. Coming up after Max leaves us, 20... What is it? There's something like 20 senators that are concerned now, and before that it was only 7 that voted against it. There's a total of 40 members of Congress are protesting indefinite detention bill, and it's in conference right now. The House is set to pass it tomorrow. It's now admitted that Obama had it added in there while claiming he was against it. I mean, that's this kind of stuff Rick Perry does. So all of that's going on. We just have incredible information coming up, but I wanted to get Max Keiser up to get his perspective on this. Then we've got some other bombshell gun control, gun grabbing news going on. But before we do that, I just want to preface here and then go to Max and play the video clip. This is out of the Financial Times of London. I saw it last night at Zero Hedge. We had it up at Infowars.com. CME chief alleges Corzine aware of transfers. Now, they had prepared at the big commodities exchange group, the old mercantile out of Chicago. They had prepared, to put this in layman's terms, and then we'll get Max Keiser's expert take on it, a prepared statement for the head of the CME group, who had said that that everything that was going on in the commodities was insured on record. Now they're talking about $1.2 to $3 billion missing. First it was $600 million, then $900 million. And that's back in USA Today. They're saying it's at least $1.2 billion or more today. Corzine's been to two different committees. He's got one more. He gets up there and says, I know nothing as the CEO. I don't know where the money went, and I never said take it, and no one knows where it went, as if the government doesn't know where the transfers went. It's reportedly J.P. Morgan. That came out. But it's just like everybody plays dumb. And he says, I know nothing like Sergeant Schultz in Hogan's Heroes, but it's people's money, farmers, ranchers, and others. You know, the terrorists the drones are training to take out. That's why they got GPS coordinates to all your front doors. I've talked to people in the Pentagon, and it's come out. It is to send missiles into your house. People a year ago were like, that's crazy. Now you're learning again. So the CME had its prepared text, and I have that up at Infowars.com. Here's the headline. Presenting the three unscripted sentences that may have cost Corzine his freedom. And the head of the CME group is saying he was in on the meetings, and that he was told Corzine was the one that ordered the money to be transferred out. And we're going to play the clip in a moment. It's all in lawyer speak. But this is a big deal. This is the big fat CME group rat who was attacking Gerald Celente and others just 3 weeks ago and saying we're nuts. He is now, he's not going to go to prison for lying to Congress. Why should he, when it's Corzine? Why should he lie for Corzine? So the rats, just like at the Justice Department on Fast and Furious, are turning on each other. Now, the question is, will they just say, well, he doesn't matter if he ordered it and has been caught lying, as if we don't know he ordered it. Go ahead and let Corzine, the big White House advisor, get away with it. I give you Max Keiser until the bottom of the next hour, graciously joining us of MaxKeiser.com. American broadcaster, filmmaker, former equities broker, Keiser is the host of On the Edge, BBC, Press TV, RT. They invented the virtual trading system used by many stock markets around the world today, MaxKeiser.com. Max, this is a big deal, is it not? Do you agree this is the big giant rat in front of everyone leaving the sinking ship?
Alex, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, great. Well, this is what I'm hearing, basically, over at MF Global, is that Corzine, of course, being somebody who doesn't really know how to run a brokerage into a business. He was speculating in his firm MF Global, and he rang up about $1.5 billion in losses. And it was going to come to the point where he'd have to call up his creditors, which in this case is J.P. Morgan, and tell them that he was going to go bankrupt, that he wouldn't make good on that collateral, at which point Jamie Dimon told John Corzine, either take that money out of your customer accounts or we'll kill you. So he threatened to kill Corzine if he didn't take the money out of the customer accounts, and Corzine did exactly that. He took the money out of the customer accounts, and now the customers don't get their money.
By the way, Max, you don't make stuff up from the time that I've talked to you. Sometimes you joke around and stuff, but when you're serious, you don't really toot your horn a lot. I mean, you know George Soros, you know his son, high-powered people like Steve Forbes see you and walk over and recognize you. You worked at the highest levels of this. They all know you. You're friends with Alec Baldwin. You know them all from the New York scene. And so if you're saying that, I mean, that this is breaking. You're saying you have sources that are saying that they told them, we're going to kill you. And that is how they operate. I mean, they run the wars. Goldman, J.P. Morgan is the boss. And then, of course, below that is their mafia don, Goldman Sachs. And you're saying J.P. Morgan told him, Jamie Dimon told him, you do this or you're going to sleep with the fishes.
Right. Ask John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. This is the way American banks do business around the world. Now they're doing it in America, just like America flies drones around the world. Now they're doing it in America. America tortures and kills people around the world. Now they do it in America.
So it's just like Madoff. It's just like Madoff. I mean, now it's been admitted, and federal courts are even having to admit it, that, wait a minute, he moved a bunch of money to people and warned people, and he was really just a front man, as you said a year and a half ago, for bigger interest. And the same thing you said years ago was, they're basically told, you take the fall or you're dead.
Right. Well, I mean, you mentioned Madoff. Let's talk about Madoff for a second. It's interesting that Madoff, Lehman Brothers, AIG, and MF Global, all of them run through the City of London, because only in the City of London is it possible to rehypothecate, that is to say, re-loan securities out, putting up no collateral whatsoever. They have a situation there which is infinite hypothecation. In America, you can only lend out 140% of customer accounts for loans.
So there's no fractional reserve banking in the City of London. It's to infinity.
That's absolutely correct in this context. And that's why AIG, Lehman Brothers, Madoff, and MF Global all go through the City of London, which is why when David Cameron recently had his kerfuffle in Brussels, where he said, I'm going to safeguard the City of London and I'm not going to be part of your treaty revision. Well, what he's saying is that his masters, the people in the City of London who are a part of this, the epicenter of the global financial terrorism network, are telling David Cameron that in no circumstances will they ever allow anyone to regulate them in any way. So Cameron dutifully ran back to London with his tail between his legs, doing the bidding of the financial terrorists in the City of London, which gave us, again, let me repeat, they gave us MF Global, AIG, Lehman and Madoff, and they are the epicenter of this meltdown that's happening now. What's happening in Europe, as everyone can see, is the banks are melting down. No matter how much money let's say the European Central Bank makes available to try to smooth out the problems in these European banks, the hedge funds and the private equity managers can create 10 times that amount of credit default swaps used to crack that bond market, to get those yields high, to crush these countries because they want to buy all the assets for pennies on the dollar. We're seeing it in Greece. They're buying the assets for pennies on the dollar. We're seeing it in Ireland. They're giving away assets for pennies on the dollar. They want to do the same thing in Italy. They want to do the same thing in Spain and France. And they use these credit default swaps, again, going.
And that's the point of always raising taxes and regulations till all the small farms and businesses go bankrupt, is so that then you get to own those, and now they're sharecroppers, they're now renters in what they previously owned. And that's what's so scary, Max. For at least 15 years, quietly behind the scenes, the entire architecture is to wage war on rural communities in the U.S., and now they're admitting it. Rural affairs.
Well, these interest rates on these European bonds, they keep going 6, 7%, 8%, which we hear is the unsustainable levels that are guaranteed for a deflationary implosion. Well, why do they keep going higher? It's because no matter what anyone does on the governments, the private equity and the hedge fund managers, which are bigger than any governments, use naked swaps and credit default swaps to crush the bond market to get those yields high to bankrupt these corporations. And they're able to do it through the loophole that is the City of London, which allows you to borrow an infinite amount of money with no...
Now, Max, stay there. Whatsoever. Stay there. I understand you're giving us how the scam works, but I want to get into specifically, and the video clip's coming up in the audio, the magnitude of the head of the CME group, the big commodities umbrella, not lying for Corzine and saying Corzine's lying.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Max Kaiser will be with us at the bottom of the next hour. Going back to him here in just a moment. And he's getting into the technicals of how this inner group of six big banks and brokerage firms can just create unlimited capital. And that's how they get away with all this. And now it came out in Reuters, Bloomberg, you name it, that the J.P. Morgan got the money. And then they just said, well, never mind that. We're not even going to say that didn't happen, but we're just going to say we don't know where it went. And then they kept saying, you'll get your money back. Now they say you're not going to get it back. And then Corzine gets up there and says, I don't know where it went. Think about that. And now the head of the CME group has come out and said, I was in the meetings and I was told that he's the one that gave the orders. Of course he gave the orders as the CEO. Of course. I mean, this is crazy. He's the former head of Goldman Sachs. But notice it's J.P. Morgan telling the Goldman Sachs people, and I want to nail Max down on specifically the thing of you're dead if you don't do this. Now, before we go any further, if you want to support us and the InfoWar operation to get tools to wake people up, if you get your order in by Sunday night, maybe even Monday morning, it's guaranteed Sunday night, you'll get it anywhere in the U.S. shipped to you before Christmas, all 18 of my films on DVD for $99.95. That's $260 off. That's a 70% discount. You can get 18 gifts with nice color packaging. You know, they're getting a nice gift. You know, professionally, you know, written up on the back, professionally made. It'll wake them up and say, hey, it's an action-adventure film. Watch it. You know, but it's an action-adventure film that's reality-based. It's nonfiction action-adventure. You'll like it. Reality is pretty exciting. So give the gift of truth, as I've said for 16 years. Now Glenn Beck is saying that. I got to start trademarking this stuff. Give the gift of truth today, ladies and gentlemen. At InfoWars.com or call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And you can also get 44% off on a yearly membership right now at PrisonPlanet.tv with the nightly news and everything else. Okay, Max, again, I'm going to pretty much have you unbridled in the next thing. I'm just so wound up today. Briefly, as we go to break in about 3 minutes. Are you saying your sources told you that the head of Goldman... that the head of J.P. Morgan told the former head of Goldman Sachs, the head of MF Global, Corzine, you give us our money, pal, or you're going to sleep with the fishes?
Yeah. I mean, look, the timing of it during the testimony is the CME head, as you pointed out, was talking about the fact that they were quite aware of this for 3 weeks. And the point kept being made that this is not an accounting error. We searched all the accounts. It was a blatant disregard of the law where they came in and they took customer money. And they did this because Diamond put a gun to his head and said, either you do this and make us whole or we're going to blow your fucking head off.
Hold on. Max, we can't talk like that. This is actual broadcast radio, so we had to bleep that out, okay? All right. But you're saying sources told you this.
Why can Jamie Dimon do that? Because back in the year 2000, during the passage of the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, it made all derivatives trading no longer was considered gambling. Up until then, they were considered gambling, but under that new legislation, they were no longer gambling, and it gave precedence to all derivative contracts above all securities, all cash, all banks. Whoever's wielding derivatives has the law on their side. So Diamond says, we are the derivatives wielder. Therefore, we are the law. You can just give us our money or we're going to kill you. Okay, why is it different than the 1930s and the gangland and the gang wars? It's no different. These banks are now just out of control gangsters, and they're putting contracts on each other. Look at the whistleblower, Andrew Maguire, in London. He told that a J.P. Morgan was manipulating the silver market. He walked out of that hearing and got hit by a car.
Well, look at how they killed. Look at how they killed Madoff's son a week after that newspaper interview got published. You saw that? I mean, they hung him. I know, it's incredible. Stay there. Back in 60 seconds with the second hour with Max Keiser, we're going to play this congressional testimony.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, it's hour number two. Max Keiser is our guest. We're going to take some calls specifically for Max on the economy, on MF Global, and the huge aftershocks of that. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. But we'll continue with him for a while before we get to those calls. And up in the next segment, I want to play a clip of what he's talking about. Specifically, then, you've been told by sources, I want to nail this down, that the word was given, you better do this.
Yes, Alex, but why should we be surprised? This is no big thing. This is the world we live in. Bankers are now terrorists. They're financial terrorists. They threaten to kill you unless you give them money, and they'll take it right out of your individual account. The brokerage account statement that you get every month is worthless. The bank account statement you get every month is just symbols on a piece of paper. It doesn't mean you own any of that stuff. The way the law works now, the second you put cash in a bank, the bank owns that cash, and they can take it for whatever reason they want to. Anyone who has money in a bank or a brokerage firm, it's not your money anymore, and I hope you don't ever want to believe that you'll ever have use of that money. This is what we're learning from the MF Global scandal. And let me point something very, very important here. The HSBC, the bank in London, has now got a lawsuit against MF Global as it relates to the GLD, which is the gold that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. They have something like 3,000 tons. It's a huge percentage of gold. As it becomes clear now that anyone who owns GLD does not own anything but a piece of worthless piece of paper, people are now liquidating GLD and SLV, which is J.P. Morgan's custodian silver vehicle. That's why gold and silver are down today. It's a direct result of MF Global. Here's something else. The money stolen from MF Global in the commodity accounts relating to silver, if you do the accounting, is the exact same to the gram amount that J.P. Morgan just reported on their books that they increased the amount of silver. They are short silver, as reported on your show many times. They need silver desperately, or they'll go out of business. That COMEX, again, risk of going out of business. They needed that money, that silver. They took it directly out of customer accounts. Those customers that don't have the silver in their accounts, it's now in J.P. Morgan's books. They stole it because they don't want to have to suffer any consequences from being a licentious, litigiously larcenistic assassination crew of gangsters who want all your frickin' money. So this is what we're dealing with.
And it is a type of insanity. I mean, they run the world. They run the major militaries. They have nuclear weapons. And they say it all the time. We have nuclear weapons. We can do whatever we want. And they're crazy. And they're hiring cops and enforcers and bureaucrats that are crazy. And I run into bureaucrats and cops and people, not all of them, but a lot of them. And they're like crazy now. They're just so confident. And, of course, we know pride goeth before a fall. And they're like Caligula. They're delusional. I think they're going to start World War III, Max. I think they're going to destroy all of us. I mean, these people are nuts.
Well, they're just greedy. That's all there is to it. I mean, Diamond and Lloyd Blankfein and Wall Street and the City of London. They're just greedy. I think what happened going back to 9/11, it scared the heck out of them. And from 9/11 going forward, their mission has been to take as much as they possibly can, because they fear that, you know, the barrier, the barbarians are at the gate, and they've just used an opportunity. They've changed the laws to steal all the physical assets, all the gold and all the silver and all the real assets. They swapped it with tons of debt. That debt, of course, can't be paid, and the people are revolting all over the world. Time magazine had the protester as the person of the year. That's the global insurrection against banker occupation. That's the direct result of bankers changing laws to make
it easier to steal wealth. But here's the deal. J.P. Morgan, you know, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, they already ran the world. So why just toxify everything so they can grab all the little crumbs and then turn everyone against them? That's what I'm saying. They're megalomaniacs. There's no way.
Look, I don't know how many rich people you know, Alex, but the rich people tend to want to be richer. You know, the greatest wealth and disparity is not between the 1% and the bottom 99%. It's between the top one-tenth of 1%.
Yeah, that's key. Let's explain the ultra-rich versus the 1% when we get back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Gunter Spens was a member of the East German Army. He was a colonel, and he was at the main base at Leipzig, where they refused to fire on the German citizens that caused the fall of the Berlin Wall. He's a part of Oath Keepers, and it's on record that all this happened. Amazing. Because before that, they would shoot the people trying to cross. There's a famous photo from the 60s that my mother brought me back from Germany, and I put it in storage, and now I can't find it. It was a big poster, blow-up of the photo, and it's of the barbed wire there in East Berlin, and it's a woman, and she's gone through, and the toddler has gotten caught in the barbed wire, and he lifts up the barbed wire, gets the child, and hands it over, and there's several photos, but I have one of them. You can find them online. I forget the name of it. And boy, that soldier that helped that baby get to its parents, never seen again. And this is the decision coming here in America. You're always going to be given a good cover story, a good reason to hate the American people and go along with this. For totally ruthless banks. I mean, Corzine is the main financial advisor to Obama. Corzine is one of their main architects. Corzine's a former New Jersey governor, former head of Goldman Sachs. He sets up MF Global. He goes out and makes 40-to-1 bets. The media said 38-to-1 bet. Kaiser saying 40-to-1 bet. The point is, and it's J.P. Morgan money, and then it was reported the money went there, and then the media is so controlled they won't talk about it. Now, Max Kaiser's our guest. Before we went to break, he was raising the point of Occupy Wall Street's talking about the 1%. It's one-tenth of 1% that actually controls everything. And they're the ultra-rich waging war against the free market. They are monopoly capitalist, crony capitalist, in their own words. The founder of the Rockefeller dynasty said, competition is a sin. So, Max, briefly speak to that, but I need to get to the main reason you're here. CME chief alleges Corzine aware of transfers, and we have the testimony here. He had the prepared testimony on the CME Group website, as he's done another testimony. Suddenly he broke with it and said, I was told in the meetings that Corzine knew and gave the orders to take the money. Now, again, he's saying, I'm not going to go down with the ship for you. And that gives us faith, folks, because if Corzine can go to jail, like Madoff, then Jamie Dimon can go to jail. Because, folks, they all need to be in jail. It could all end. You know, the infrastructure of tyranny is there now. So the problem is if you get rid of these guys, more will get in there. But if you send enough of them to prison and then expose it like a bad nightmare, it can end. Because then the documents will come out. Whistleblowers won't be as scared. There's huge persecution of whistleblowers going on right now on record. Media people being persecuted. It can stop. But they think they're going to bring in a Northcom tyranny and get away with it all. Like they're doing in Europe. I mean, they're announcing banks took over through fraud. Goldman Sachs rules Europe. That's headlines. They're celebrating. But really, they're little scared crooks like Corzine, who looks scared in those testimony, because he's up there bald-faced lying, folks. Of course he knows where the money went. The government knows where the transfers went. This claim, Max Kaiser, speak to that, and then the 1/10 of 1% instead of the 1%. And then I want to get into the big enchilada. Why you think he is jumping ship and not playing patty cake? And will his kids start being found dead, or will he die in a car wreck?
Well, he's being essentially, he's a whistleblower. And we know that whistleblowers are targeted. Again, you know, the Andrew McGuire case from just a few months ago, testifying about J.P. Morgan's manipulation of the silver market in London. And he was hit by a car. So this type of thing. So he's acting as a whistleblower.
And he said it came out of nowhere. It was after him.
Well, he had a crisis of conscience and suddenly spilled the beans. So this happens sometimes. Human beings occasionally act, have a crisis of conscience. You know, occasionally a human being will respond to a moral good. Occasionally that happens. And this is what happened. Suddenly he became human. And this is something that the MF Global or JP Morgan hadn't counted on, that somebody would act like a human being. That was a human being risk. They weren't hedged against humanity. They're not hedged against people acting like humans. They only have robots down the floor of the exchange who do their bidding by conducting algorithmic trading that is all programmed to steal money every single day. But getting to this 1% issue, you know, the 1% versus the 99%. To make it into the 1% in America, you need $1 million in cash, okay? Now, the fact is there are millions of people in America with $1 million in cash. It's no big thing.
And they're the ones that buy cars and go to your restaurant and buy houses and get rock walls built at their houses. They're the people that run the economy.
They're just middle management types.
Yeah.
Now, to get to, let's say, $10 billion, which is a nice chunk of money, you're making $27 million every single day for 365 days. And that's what somebody in the top 1/10 of 1% makes. They make $27 million every single day. A hedge fund manager pays themselves $5, $10 billion.
And I've noticed in their divorce cases and stuff, it comes out that they're obsessed with beating each other. And it's all like a race car race as they destroy the world. I guess that plays to that suicide banker point you make.
Well, this is, you know, if you go to the Belhaven Club in Greenwich, Connecticut, and you sit around with a bunch of billionaire hedge fund managers, you know, they're all basically just competing with each other, and they're willing to throw the country under the bus to do it. They think it's oh so amusing. And having, you know, been with these folks, myself working on Wall Street as a stockbroker for many years, that's the mentality. So when you say, why do they think they need to make go from 100 million to 200 million or from 1 billion to 5 billion? Because that's who they're competing with. And they're willing to break any law, write new laws, or kill somebody. It's no big deal to kill somebody. That's just par for the course.
And here's the other big issue. They've got the government on the payroll, and so now as crimes are committed, everybody in the system's engaged in some kind of crime, so they can't blow the whistle on an even bigger crime, because then that will bring them down, and so there's a natural progression where the crimes get wilder and wilder and crazier, like DuPont running around raping people and driving tanks with machine guns in the local town screaming, I'm God. I mean, and the cops are like, that's just what he does.
Well, you say the government's on the payroll. The payroll is stretching it a little bit because, I mean, for $200,000, you can get Congress to write a new law for a bank on Wall Street. That's hardly pay. I mean, that's a stipend.
It's not even chicken feed. That's the thing. They sell out for not even 1/1,000,000th.
Yeah, I'd love to see Congress hold out and try to, at least for half of, you know, $3 or $4 million before they break the law for a bank. I mean, maybe that would help solve the deficit in America. But they'll do it for $200,000. I mean, almost anybody can buy a congressman. They're so cheap. They're like $2 whores. Almost anyone can get a congressman to change a law for you. And if it takes $100,000 or $200,000, and if you're a bank on Wall Street, it's really they.
You're right. They are the equivalent. They are the equivalent of disheveled crack whores with cigarette burns all over them that are less than a quarter. Yeah, I mean, I've seen poor crack whores that look like Dawn of the Dead zombies.
The bonuses on Wall Street last year were $140 billion. So when you read about folks like, oh, there's a party of five or six brokers in Paris celebrating their bonus. And by the way, the check for the meal for dinner was $130,000. I mean, that's nothing to them. That's absolutely nothing. That's no money to them because they're getting paid billions. So, and where does that money come from? It comes from society that has to underwrite and subsidize these people through austerity. And that's why you have a global insurrection against banker occupation, because the globe doesn't want to subsidize pay the welfare to Jamie Dimon anymore. They don't want to pay Lloyd Blankfein's welfare anymore. They want to just work and make money for themselves. They don't want to tithe their money to the Lord Blankfein like it's some kind of medieval feudal serfdom. No, they want to work and live like a real person.
Now, again, here is Terry Duffy, who was saying none of this was true just 2 weeks ago. Now he changed his testimony. He had prepared on the record text that said one thing, and then he changed three lines. And it says, after receiving this information, this is the change part, CME remained at MF Global while MF Global attempted to identify funds that could be transferred. So CMT is actually in there catching them. Into segregation to reduce or eliminate the discrepancy. A CME auditor also participated in a phone call with senior MF Global employees wherein, and now those same employees have been caught lying, saying we met but didn't talk about anything. One employee, you know, at 2 in the morning, we just met and didn't do anything at the office. One employee indicated that Mr. Corzine knew about the loans and had been made from the customer segregated accounts. Of course he knew. Now they're saying no one knows. The government knows where the money went. It was J.P. Morgan. CME Group has provided this information, the names of the individuals, to the DOJ. Good luck. The DOJ's run by, from our research, the guy that ran the OKC bombing. These are hardcore killers, folks. Man, I can't believe I have to have to challenge killers like this, but I have to do it. Somebody's got to not be a coward. Continuing, individuals to the DOJ and the CFTC who were investigating these matters. Boom! Well, again, Max, we're going to go to break, come back, play the clip, keep you longer because I want to go to calls. But, I mean, this is, it's just, it's right there. The Justice Department knows. They're telling the public they don't know where $1.2 billion at least went. The government knows where a $10,000 check goes. They know where every dime went. They knew a month ago it was J.P. Morgan. But they're God, so no one can talk about them.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
I mean, how far does it go? How far will they go, Max?
The question is, how far will we go? You know, vigilante justice and the global insurrection is on the move. It's on the cover of Time magazine. Now we got to get some scalps, baby, because we're on the march. You know, there's no government, there's no law, but it doesn't mean we have to play by their rules. We know who the criminals are. We know that they've stolen our money. Time for vigilante justice.
Now, you see, Max, the globalist, well, then why are Soros and others knee-deep in the Occupy? I'm not saying Occupy is bad, but they're trying to control it. They want to brand the revolution towards collectivism to suck more of the middle class's money and give it to the offshore banks. So how do you navigate that morass?
Well, Soros and the Occupy movement is just one facet of this global insurrection against banker occupation.
So I agree. And the media is using it to brand everything as some collect. Okay, stay there. I got to play this video clip of what we just read when we come back. And then we'll keep you even longer if you can do it. Take some calls, maybe to 45 after. MaxKaiser.com is his website. Our websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. We're risking it all to tell you the truth because we know there's no future if we don't beat these psychopathic, crazy people. You know, I watch all the little info babes up on TV, reading off teleprompters, lying to people. I see the general public starting to wake up, and Congress has an incredibly low approval rating, 9%. But that's not enough. A lot of people out there think they're awake, but then they still laugh at things I talk about. That's because they have no idea how bad things are, and they haven't studied history. They've lived in the lap of luxury and freedom. And like termites, the criminals have been beavering away under us. And now people's feet are starting to go through the floor. You lean on a wall, it falls in. People are starting to realize, man, there's something going on here. And the recklessness of these elites is frightening because it shows megalomania has set in. I mean, that was some evil, wicked kingpin. I'd try to have things, you know, conservative, focused, incremental. They don't do that. They're just wild now, which shows the megalomania has set in. Now, what's changed with the head of the CME group? That's the biggest commodities group out there, trillions of dollars. Terry Duffy. A few weeks ago, he was acting like we were crazy to say this stuff, even attacking Gerald Celente by name. Now he's come out and said, no, Corzine did know, and our people were there, and I've given the names of the Justice Department. And see, he went off script there in that whole staged meeting. Where none of them ask real questions. They all know that. They're all allowed to insider trade and say they're above the law in Congress. Let's go to the clip of it and get Max Keiser's take on it. Come back in a long segment and take calls. Here's that clip of the testimony yesterday. And this isn't just my interpretation. Here's Financial Times of London, the real globalist publication. CME chief alleges Corzine aware of transfers. That's what's sending gold and silver down, because it's destroying the commodity end of it. But we're going to break that down in a moment. Here's the clip.
CFTC and CME staff and auditors returned to the firm on Sunday, October 30th, and were informed by MF Global employees that this discrepancy was caused by, quote, an accounting error. Our auditors worked with the CFTC, devoted the rest of the day and night Sunday to find the so-called accounting error. No such error was ever found. Instead, at about 2 a.m. Monday morning, October 31st, MF Global informed both the CFTC and CME at approximately the same time that the shortfall was real and that customer segregated funds had been transferred out of segregation to the firm's broker-dealer accounts. After receiving this information, CME remained at MF Global while MF Global attempted to identify funds that could be transferred into segregation to reduce or eliminate the discrepancy. A CME auditor also participated in a phone call with senior MF Global employees, wherein one employee indicated that Mr. Corzine knew about the loans that had made for the customer segregated from the customer segregated accounts. CME Group has provided this information,
and then
these individuals to the Department of Justice and
back it up. Our video, for whatever reason, we're going to get new computers. It's saved. We're not editing it. It just is buffering. Back it up a few seconds, and we'll try to play it there. I don't know why the computers do this, but go ahead and play it again.
CME Group has provided this information. Names of these individuals to the Department of Justice and the CFTC who are investigating these matters.
Oh, that must be on the C-SPAN video itself. Okay, so there you go, Max Keiser. And that's now on the record. And they just wanted to move on from that, didn't they?
Well, he knew that when he said that it would open a can of worms, but it gives you a time click, a tick tock, you know, the timeline of when Corzine got the call from Jamie over there at JP Morgan and threatened to kill him, because after a few weeks when there were the money wasn't showing up, he said, "Well, take it out of the customer money, or we'll kill you." So that's the timeline, and it's America, and that's the way business is done now. We've got killers who run big Wall Street firms, but that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And if you have any money in a brokerage firm or a bank, you're an idiot, because it's now gone. There's no rule. Now, we'll see whether this goes. I mean, this obviously, what will happen to this case is in order to absolve the people, the crooks involved, they're going to need to pass some new laws very quickly. Obama, in reaction to this, and Holder, in reaction to this blatant law-breaking, will pass new laws. That's been the history on Wall Street. If you get caught breaking the law, they pass new laws. Like Goldman Sachs passed a new law when they were caught breaking an SEC regulation about offering stock of Facebook to insiders beyond what's allowed by SEC law. So what do? They're getting Congress to pass a new law. You just see examples of this every day. So
we've got to go to break, but instead of things getting better and enforcing the law, they just change it. Kind of like when Bush got caught spying without warrants on citizens, they change the law, or they get caught torturing. They try to
for telecom spying for years, Verizon and other telecom companies, they just gave them immunity. Okay, so they just give them immunity. They'll change the law, and they'll say it's for national security, and then we'll move on. And they'll say, I don't want to focus on the past.
Stay there, because as you said, they've got the bank accounts all tied to derivatives. It's all gone.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I want to break down what comes next and what Max Keiser thinks the fallout from this is going to be, and then we'll take your calls for the balance of the hour. He's been very helpful and gracious to spend this much time with us today. Before I go back to Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com, I wanted to remind everybody that you support this broadcast when you click on our sponsors. and check out their great products at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you support the sponsors that you hear here nationally on the radio and the sponsors that you hear on your local AM and FM stations. And it's key to do that, and I appreciate your support. We're having a big effect, and we're risking our lives, our names, our treasure, our families in this fight. Because we realize tyranny cannot be bargained with, certainly not when it's reached this stage four, like cancer. We've got a very slim chance of turning it around before the full implosion. It will turn around once it fully falls apart. So now is the time to get the word out about the free podcast and about the YouTube channel and about the free audio streams or about the local AM or FM you're listening to us on. America's in desperate straits. The world is. If you're listening right now, driving in your car, next red light you hit, roll it down and say, hey, tune to this AM or FM station, the station I'm on right now. Or if you're listening tonight, when you walk in that 7-Eleven or whatever, tell them, hey, tune in, hear the truth. It's on right now. They're listening on XM. Same thing. Tell people that you see in parking lots, hey, have you got XM? Tune to this channel. People are like, that's so alien to do that. No, we've become alien to American culture of liberty. It's time to just get the buzz going. How many police officers call here that have woken up and say they woke up because somebody told them 5 years ago about Infowars.com or gave them a copy of one of my films? We're reaching more than 15 million people a week now. It's growing fast. And believe me, I'm on the globalist radar. I'm on the White House enemies list. That's come out in the news. The White House has responded to articles we've put out. We're having an effect. You better believe it. We're on the Drudge Report every week now, twice yesterday, two different articles. And I pray that, you know, for protection. I pray for your prayers. But it's all in God's hands. I'm not living in fear. They kill me tomorrow, set me up, whatever. They've got to be face down. These are really bad people. And I want to encourage you this Christmas to give the gift of truth. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, it's a great excuse to wake somebody up. You can get all 18 of my films on DVD, all 18, for $99.95, and it ends at the end of the month. If you order by Sunday evening, it's guaranteed shipped anywhere in the U.S. before Christmas. Infowars.com, the Alex Jones Everything Special. You can get 18 gifts for people and not fight the crowds or buy stuff you don't need. So again, Infowars.com, the online shopping cart, or 888-253-3139. Or get it in the mail today. It should get here. P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And again, when I plug sponsors or videos, it's all things I believe in, and it's all things that fund this operation. Fueling the tanks on our weapon system to go out and expose the globalists some more. But the most important thing is keep spreading the word about the broadcast. It's working. It's working. That's why all my films are online for free. You can buy them on DVD in high quality if you want, but they're all there. Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame. Get the links. Get them out to people. Don't know how to find them? Search it. Now, I want to go to calls, but going back to Max Keiser. Max, the seismic shift, and I'm going to put it on screen here for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. London Telegraph, last Thursday. Portugal raids pension funds to meet deficit targets, admits that it's private pension funds. They can always argue, oh, government pension funds is welfare. Not if you've been paying into it. They're already raiding those. But the government's taken it and shaved, depending on which fund it was, 10 to 20 or even more percentage off. And they say the government now holds your fund in trust and gave it to Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and some of the other European banks. But obviously, I was going to ask you, where is it going? The fact that they don't care that the public's now learning that bank accounts, brokerage accounts, 401ks, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, these indexes, nothing's there. There's hundreds of times derivatives fraud to what real assets are. As you and other economists we've had on have all basically admitted on the same spectrum. 100 times, 200 times, people debate it. The point is, they've signed us onto their fraud. The military's standing by to wage war with us. And the question is, will they stand down? And so what comes next? I guess they just destroy confidence. They don't care. They take it all over and the military stands by. I mean, is that what's going to happen, Max Keiser?
Look, they just rack up huge debts, speculating. And then when it comes time to pay the debt, they raid a pension account or they raid your commodities account or they'll steal your mutual fund or your bank account. So there's nobody trying to stop them from racking up these debts. In Europe, the economy and the banking system is collapsing, but the speculators are still racking up more debts. If you notice, the Bank of International Settlements came out with a report just a couple of weeks ago that indicated that the total amount of derivatives in the global banking system has reached a new all-time high of $720 trillion. Remember, after the crisis of 2008, that number decreased by $50 or $60 trillion for temporarily. But now, since nobody did anything to make any laws or to put anybody in jail, and in fact, all the speculators thought that they were being rewarded for doing such a great job endangering the global economy, they have increased the total number of banks. That's to $700 trillion. So anytime that they need to pay any interest, again, it's very small because interest rates are near zero, but they do. They still have interest on $700 trillion. It's still, even if it's 0.001%, it still is a meaningful amount on that amount. So they will raid your pension account. They'll steal from your brokerage account. And, you know, Jamie Dimon over there, J.P. Morgan, that bank alone has $90 trillion in derivatives on their books. That's bigger than the total GDP of the entire world. The entire global GDP is, let's call it, $60 trillion. J.P. Morgan has derivatives on their books for $90 trillion. And they say, well, it's not risk, really, because it's perfectly hedged. All the counterparties are completely safe. And yet, look what just happened for them at Global. There's no counterparty accountability there. Look what happened during 2008. There were no counterparties accountability there. It's gross risk. It's not net risk. That's $90 trillion in risk. They're not hedged at all. And how can you hedge, $700 trillion in bets on an
But here's the question.
Only-
here's the question. As the firemen, the police, the bureaucrats lose their future, will they, the police, still not care that they've been robbed just because they can still crack somebody on the head? I mean, that's really what's valuable. Or is there, I mean, is there any end from your research to how bad this is going to get? Because certainly they have a escape route, and that's more power, world government, total tyranny in their own words. But, I mean, they've got a problem, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said last year to the Council on Foreign Relations in Canada, their branch. He said, look, the world is awake and staring at the elite, not at our puppets anymore. We're in deep trouble. So even their own technocrats are warning them that they're not going to get away with this. Even if they start World War III, that isn't going to make people circle the wagons around the little bankers.
Well, what they count on is the response you see in almost all incidents of rape. Rape victims tend to blame themselves. And this is what the elites count on. They know that if they steal all your money, you're going to blame yourself. And I know, working on Wall Street myself, that was the attitude. When I call up a customer and I tell them, hey, I just lost all of your money, typically the customer will blame themselves. And this is what people count on. I know when I was working on Wall Street, this is what we found. We try to find customers that were gambleaholics. We try to find emotionally weak customers that'll blame themselves for the money you steal from them. And this is what they do, but on a much bigger scale. So a pension account that's worth a few hundred million, if they steal 2 or 3 million or 4 billion, the pension manager will feel bad about themselves and they'll put their tail between their legs and they'll scurry home to wherever they're living, a little hovel, and they'll cry to themselves to sleep all night. But that's what you count on, because nobody's going to.
Oh, I know. I've seen when the government takes people's children for no reason, they'll still somehow blame themselves. And I see this psychology all the time. I mean, it really is the Stockholm syndrome.
Well, the thing is, you learn on Wall Street. When I was on Wall Street, what I was told was a couple of things. First of all, it doesn't matter if you break the law because we have lawyers, you know. And second of all, unless you have at least one case pending against you from a disgruntled customer, you're not showing enough initiative. I mean, that's the law of the Wall Street. And the way you're paid on Wall Street is not on the money you make for customers, but on the churn factor. How much of the customer's money did you turn into the firm's money? And you do that by excessive trading. And typically, brokers will churn customers and they'll turn it over and turn 10 or 20% of the customer's account.
And the most criminal rise to the top. And they think the police state's going to protect them from the crimes they've committed. Let's go to your phone calls. If you just joined us, the head of the CME group, this is big, big news. Terrence Duffy has gone public and said that he was told, and he told the Justice Department this, in meetings with MF Global top brass, that they were ordered by Corzine to steal the private bank accounts. This is bank robbery digital. And you're seeing a giant attempt by MF Global and by JP Morgan, reportedly, who got most of the money, to just have it in plain view and see if you'll buy it. And the Justice Department and the rest of these terrorists who ship guns to Mexico and cocaine into the country and get caught, they don't get in trouble either, just to see if they can get away with this. And I want to go to calls here, Max, but that point you raised about the gold, we'll have to cover that after we get to some calls, because that's destroying the commodities market in gold and silver. But the last time they did that 6 months ago or 5 months ago, it only came back up after. So we'll get your view on the future of that here. But right now, let's go ahead and talk to George in Connecticut. You're on the air with Max Keiser. Thanks for holding.
I have a question for Max, but I also have some hope for you. I'll give you the hope quick. I was listening to a very left-wing New York station, and it was an Occupy Wall Street, and they're talking about Ron Paul, and they're lots of people are giving upbeat things, so that there's the hope that there may be a joining at some point. The question for Max, though, is that I'm wondering, every time they drive down gold and silver under GLD and SLV, is that maybe we can use that as an opportunity to buy the real stuff, say, look, they're pushing it down, switch from GLD and SLV, buy the real stuff, it makes less in the market, and also then we secure a lower price at the same time for that product. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's what people are doing. They're getting out of the paper gold, which includes GLD and SLV, and they're buying the physical gold and silver. And that's what's happening. And the demand for gold and silver is still extraordinarily high all around the world. So, yeah, they're shifting out of the paper. They're moving into the physical. And at some point, the physical will start to be traded at quotes. They'll be priced and it's completely separate from the paper. So you'll have two markets. You'll have the physical market will be trading at one price. And then they'll have the paper market trading at a completely
separate
price.
And so are you looking for a boomerang? Because it'll go down for a while as the paper market collapses, which is happening because no one trusts MF Global. And I guess that's why the head of it, the head of the CME group is having to come out and cry uncle, because they do see it literally across commodities markets are going down because of loss of confidence. Then I guess as everybody then rushes into physical, could that push it then up a lot?
Well, yeah. Also, it's also strong hands. These are physical cash buyers. So the world is moving in a very stealthy fashion to a gold standard. You know, gold vending machines are now all over the world. People own gold, and we're becoming a gold oriented society. So the central banks trying to avoid that from happening by increasing margin accounts, by screwing around with GLD, they're bringing in a stealth gold standard anyway. So they're hoisted by their own petard. You know, they don't understand that this is not stopping people from buying gold and silver. And my target of 5,000 on gold is the same as it was 7 years ago, 8 years ago. I haven't changed that target as my interim target.
Sure, we've seen them drive it down many times, and it's the same game. George, thank you for the call. Good points. Good question. Let's go ahead and talk to Chuck in Virginia. You're on the air, Chuck.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Max. My question is, using Max's analogy earlier, with J.P. Morgan putting a gun to Corzine's head, when America leaves China hanging with the $2 trillion in debt, do you think China will put a gun to America's head by virtue of like a Chinese Red Dawn?
I think that you already have incredible influence in American policy from China, certainly in the monetary policy and in the financial policies. China's got incredible influence. And going forward, we see China lining themselves up with Iran and Russia more than the United States. So that block of countries, Iran, China, Russia, are consolidating their relationships and doing lots of deals with together. And so the U.S., of course, is sticking with Britain and Israel. I mean, that's going to be the loser going forward against China, Russia, Iran. I mean, think about it. They've got all the oil and gas. They've got all the gold and silver. They've got all the money. So who are you going to make a bet? China, Russia, Iran, or America and Israel? I take the...
Yeah, America and Israel and England run by the most larcenous con men undoubtedly the world has ever seen. William K. Black agrees, others, the greatest fraud ever. And they're waging war against our own countries, from Israel to the U.S. are all occupied by basically military dictatorships with a little fake government out front. And you're right. Russia and China and others were heavily invested, especially China. They wanted to be part of the New World Order. They were offered, and now they've been sold derivatives and crud. So their president is threatening war with the U.S. now in Reuters, but it's not even on the nightly news. I mean, that shows you how crazy the world's gotten. And that even the Communist Party of China is now freaked out about who's running the U.S. Because these bankers are so sure of themselves, are so hubris drunk, that who knows what they'll do.
Well, I'm in that camp. And they've got the resources. They're in Africa securing resources in the case of China, where the U.S. is blowing money on weapons to try to secure energy resources. It's a completely inefficient way to do that. And the next world war is not going to be fought with tanks and rockets. It's a currency war. And it's going to be fought with derivatives. And countries with actual resources behind these derivatives are going to do better than the U.S., which is just in the U.K. and Israel. They're just printing debt. So it's going to be debt versus real resources. And I think real resources are going to prevail.
And by the way, that's why, and I've told people this for a decade or more, from the manuals, the drills, I've documented it. But now they're admitting they are lining up the U.S. military after farmers and ranchers. That's who they train to take on. And that's who they're now using Predator drones on. I mean, why are they so scared of farmers and ranchers, Max?
Well, I guess because they're afraid of anybody who's independent in any way. Farmers and ranchers are independent because they have an independent source of income, and they're not reliant on the government to that extent. So that's obviously a threat to the central planners in Washington.
Wow, we're going to come back, and I'm going to keep it till 5 after, and we're going to let you go. And for a whole hour into the next, we're going to have a very interesting guest in studio with us. Max Keiser is our guest. We're going to break, but just briefly, Max, when do you expect gold to go back up?
Well, you know, that's the timing on gold and silver is something that people should stop trying to time it. And I've always said the best way is to give yourself a dollar cost averaging. So every month you go in with the same amount of money. So here this month when it's being attacked, you go in with that same amount of money, and you're going to end up buying more.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay there, Max.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame.
Gunter Spence is going to be joining us coming up at 8 after. He was a colonel in the East German military and was part of the stand down that basically led to the fall of the Berlin Wall. He's going to be in studio with us. I appreciate him traveling from where he lives in Texas to Austin. That's coming up. We've got two segments left with Max Keiser, this short one, and one more short one to go to phone calls here. And let's go ahead and go to Info in Maryland. You're on the air, Info.
Hi, Max. How you doing?
Good.
I kind of agree with Max Keiser about the whole MF Global thing with Corzine. The fact that he was able, the fact that he had to lie because, you know, his family might be in danger, and they have a gun to his head and stuff like that. I mean, what could you absolutely do?
I appreciate your call. We have to expose these criminals. It's a moral issue, and this is an educational thing. It shows us that our government is criminal and out of control and illegitimate, and that we need to fix it. Max Keiser, your comment.
It's a replay of Enron. Remember Enron? They famously, we learned about the special purpose entity accounts, over 700 off-balance sheet accounts that they use to fund their fraud. Now we're learning about hypothecation and rehypothecation. It's essentially the same game. After Enron, I think their chairman blew his head off. He blew, you know, killed himself, I believe. Somebody else went to jail. The stock went to zero. $80 billion got wiped out. In the case of J.P. Morgan, I think we're going to see the same thing. Chairman can blow his head off. Stock goes to zero. Someone's going to go to jail. It's a replay.
But much bigger.
It's a $160 billion company. Enron was $80 billion. So on a pure stock play, it's twice as big. But it's systemically glued into the system.
But yeah, but that's a side issue because it's the derivatives. The Ponzi scheme has infected everything. And so we're basically talking about the bullet that shot a hole in us instead of talking about the bullet hole.
Well, J.P. Morgan, of course, their debts are not held on their balance sheet. Their debts are held by the Fed. So if Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan blows up, so does the Fed. Now, a lot of people will cheer that. Of course, even Ron Paul will cheer that. He'll say that's probably the greatest thing that could happen is for J.P. Morgan and the Fed to simply blow themselves up, which would be a nice end to a 100-year run as a vicious financial crook in this country.
We're going to go to break and come back with three or four more calls and then let Max Keiser go and bring in our next guest who's going to be in studio. But here's a headline. Ron Paul outlines his campaign secret weapon on the radio show with us yesterday. Steve Watson has an article on that. He's now in a dead tie with Newt Gingrich. And as people learn how dirty Gingrich is, he is falling like a rock. Now, your view on Newt Gingrich?
I'm in Europe. I've been here for 10 years now. I've been lived in France for 14 years. I don't follow regional, local, little American elections that closely. I mean, Ron Paul's a great guy. I hope he does well. But other than that, it's a too small a country.
Yeah, the point is that look at who the Republicans put forward. I mean, this is a top globalist minion. This is a Mr. Selling Influence, Mr. Crooked. He moves like a weather vane, depending on how the wind blows. And that's who Ron Paul, the statesman, has to fight with. I mean, it should be a no-brainer, Max.
Yeah, well, you're talking about voters in a country where there are very few brains. So, I mean, they constantly vote for deadbeats and charlatans. So, hopefully they'll maybe choose somebody that's capable this time, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well, one thing's for sure, Ron Paul can't fix everything, but he's a major signal worldwide, as he said yesterday, that we're going in the right direction again, or that we're trying to turn the ship around. But my goodness, if we get any of the other candidates, Obama, Romney, Gingrich, heaven help us. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Gunter Spins, former colonel in the East German Army, going to be in studio with us. And he was part of the group that stood down and led to the fall of the Berlin Wall. And that's what we're coming to here. The globalists are just going to get more and more corrupt until they fall. The question is, will they crush us in the process? I think we're doing a pretty good job, though, Max. I see a lot of people waking up. Briefly, your statement on that, and we'll take some more calls.
Well, Alex, this is why God invented the guillotine.
So that's the long and short of it. Let's go to Freedom Lover in Florida. You're on the air with Max Keiser.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to both of you all the time. I was wondering, one statement I want to make, and then I have a couple questions. What I would think would be a great ticket with Ron Paul personally would be Peter Schiff. I think he would be a great running mate. But having said that, I wanted to know, Max, is there validity behind a statement that Mike Dillard of the Elevation Group made that 144 tons of gold was supposed to be sent to Libya from the New York Fed, and that's actually what got Gaddafi assassinated? And also, if I could just follow up with you, Alex, what do you mean personally when you say that you see a turnaround after, like, the final clampdown occurs?
Well, I mean, things are going to have to get really bad before people start really waking up. People are starting to wake up now because things are bad, but they have no idea historically how guaranteed crazy this is going to get. But yes, it's true that from what I read, I don't know about the particular guy you mentioned, that Libya was demanding delivery of its gold, and we know Venezuela has now done that. Max Keiser.
The thing about Libya was, of course, the second they let Tony Blair into the country, the country was doomed. He got J.P. Morgan to manage their pension accounts, lost 98%. Got Goldman Sachs to come in and manage some sovereign wealth money. They lost something like 80%. They totally bankrupted the country within 6 months. This is what killed Libya, because Tony Blair introduced them. Of course, Tony Blair went from governing Britain to going on J.P. Morgan's board of directors and cutting deals in the Mideast.
And Gaddafi thought that they really wanted to be his friends. Talk about becoming a delusional dictator.
Well, he met the true terrorists. You know, he thought, I mean, blowing up a Pan Am flight, that's chicken feed compared to what Tony Blair does on a daily basis.
Yeah, they blow up whole countries. They blow up whole countries.
That's nothing. Yeah, that's a Pan Am flight. That's not. That's just an initiation for these guys. They can do that just to get into
freedom lover. Great questions. One last one for Max Kaiser, Daryl in North Carolina.
Thank you, Alex. Hello, Max. Very quickly, I'd like to ask. You say that the banks can just go in and snatch out of your deposit. Do credit unions face the same risk? And do you feel that if Glass-Steagall was reinstalled, that we would recover?
That's a good question. Max Kaiser, take us out with that. Max, did you hear his question?
Okay, yeah, credit unions. Yeah, credit unions are definitely a far superior alternative. And the second question was again?
If Glass-Steagall was reinstated, do you think we could recover?
Yeah, Glass-Steagall, of course. Glass-Steagall, any
yeah, what's happening is, Max, your Skype or phone or whatever we got you on today, it's Skype audio, is breaking up. But I think it's more important to point out, as you said, they're leveraging the derivatives right now. They're not getting – so that's the opposite of getting Glass-Steagall. In fact, they're going even more in the other direction. They're using bailout money to further gamble and becoming more and more reckless. Max Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us. How do they steal private bank accounts? They have the government take it over to protect them. Correct, Max?
Yeah, they just make a phone call. There's no laws.
All right, Max. Thank you so much. MaxKaiser.com. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
There goes Max. Oh, great having him on for an hour and a half. Okay, we've got our amazing next guest coming on. Gunter Spins, colonel in the East German military who stood up against the tyranny. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
For the rest of the hour, Gunter Spins is our guest, and they have the video up at the Oath Keepers website where he was interviewed, and he's brought his former East German passport and his diplomas and army documents. Of course, he showed all that to Oath Keepers, but he's involved with Oath Keepers and is a patriot because we know the history of what happened there with the fall of the Berlin Wall. We know that it was a key military group that he was in and commanding, that actually said no on the orders to shoot the citizens that in mass were climbing over the wall. And that loss of power by the state, just like with Ceausescu in Romania, by the military standing down, even for a short period, is what finally brought the tyrants down. Of course, the military tried to overthrow Hitler, was not as successful. There have been other, attempts. But in this case, it wasn't a military coup. It was just the military standing down and not shooting their citizens that they did do in the past famously. And I don't want to go over his entire bio. It's very, very lengthy. And it's also in a big article at oathkeepers.org. But the article's headline is Oath Keepers at the Fall of the Berlin Wall article. And it breaks it down. He was born in 52. Got a university degree and joined the Army in 72. At this time, the Army had to get rid of the older officers. I guess they weren't playing ball. The new generation was very well educated and not dependent on the support of the party. We followed our oath. The revolution started in the spring of 89 in the city of, how do I pronounce that? Leipzig. Okay, I knew I was getting it right. I can hardly pronounce English, much less German. Deutsch. In a church in downtown. On Monday by 7 p.m., the service ended, and a group of church members were just walking around doing nothing. And it goes on, they just walked over the street into heavy traffic, but every car stopped to give them the way. People came to watch and week by week, more and more joined them. The party became a big problem. It goes on. Encouraged by that, many people left East Germany via the embassies of other countries. And then he breaks down what happened after that. He was served at the headquarters of the Third Army in that city, at Leipzig, at the rank of lieutenant colonel. The Stasi, a secret police, and the party arrested him in the summer of 89, but my commander gave them 5 days to provide any evidence. They could not, and I came back into service. I wish that LTC Terry Lacken had such a commander. And then it goes into what happened to other folks. You know, I meant to get this photo, but then I couldn't find it last night because I've moved several times. But my mother went to Germany and brought back a famous photo of the East German soldier helping the toddler through to its parents. Have you seen that photo?
Yes, I've seen it.
Do you remember the name of it? Because we might be able to pull it up if you can remember it.
No.
Okay, well, basically, I've only gone into part of this. You guys stood down, and then that led finally to the falling of the Berlin Wall. So it shows that one man on the right can stand up against an army of people who are in the wrong, to paraphrase the founder of the Texas Rangers. So, Gunter Spins, it's good to have you here today. Break down your story, what you witnessed in Germany, in East Germany, and then the parallels that you see happening in the world today, if any.
Yes, thank you for having me. So I'm Gunter Spins. I served the East German Army. I left the Army in 1989 as Lieutenant Colonel. This is a document. This is the ID. Every officer, every soldier has such a document. There's still my picture in it, of course.
Yeah, they're going to aim the camera in a moment at that. Yes. But,
and, the, of course, the rank, Lieutenant Colonel. And also the base I served, which was Leipzig, and there's the number.
Yes, sir. Can we see the photo? It's just really interesting. Here you go. Thank you.
Yeah, there's one.
Go ahead. Thank you. Please continue.
So I served first in the 4th Infantry Division, and since 1976 in the command of the headquarters of the Third Army. And I became Lieutenant Colonel, and we were in Leipzig, and the revolution started in Leipzig, in the city of Leipzig. It started really with a few men from the church that left the church by 7 p.m. in the city, in downtown of Leipzig. And there is like a ring street around the downtown, and they just walked in the middle of the traffic, in the middle of the street, around the downtown. No sign, nothing. Just they were there, quiet, peaceful.
And so was that silent protest that triggered it?
Yes, this triggered it. I mean, the situation for the DDR, for the East Germany, was not good at this time. A lot left East Germany via the ambassador in Hungary, in Czech. You know. And the border itself was very well, let's say, protected. It was not possible to cross the border, unless you will die. But via the ambassador, you could go. It was easier. And the pressure was that high, they had to find a solution. But there was no solution.
We got to be clear. So people were, what would happen to families and others before you stood down and others stood down at your command base, in 89? What would happen to people and what were the numbers of those that were killed?
This is hard to say because there was no public, there was no free press, no free media. Definitely, I would say, in the thousands. Especially in the beginning, when the border was consolidated, it was not possible, for my opinion, to cross the border and be alive. There was, in the way before, when you go close to the border, 20 kilometers, about 17 miles, that was completely blocked. You had a special document when you are living there. All others would be arrested. You got not even close to the border.
So living near the border, you had to have a special document.
A special document, then you could go in this area. The border itself was, there was at least two fences with about 100 yards between it, full light all day, all night. And we had the towers and the soldier there, and you shoot. For sure. It was the order to shoot everyone on the border.
Wow. Well, we talked about that famous photo of the German soldier with the toddler that's been caught in the barbed wire, and he helps it through, and then we're told that that soldier disappeared.
Yes. And the border was closed in August, 13th of August, 1961. Since then was the border completely closed. It started with the Berlin Wall, and also the border along to West Germany was completely closed. Even if it was not possible to go to the Baltic Sea in the north, no way. In the beginning, a lot died, of course, because they expected they can do this, can go. There's no way. Even when you leave East Germany to the east for Bulgaria, Poland, or this, there was always control. I was several times in the Black Sea vacation, and when I crossed the border to the Czech, from the Czech to Hungary, everyone, they called back to my base and told he left the border there. I got the authorization to go, and it was our countries in the east. Yeah? When I got the authorization, I had to declare what point I will cross the border, when, what time, and the same the way back. Even this was exactly controlled.
Now, continuing, because I want to get into the fall of the Berlin Wall and how you were intimately involved in that, with the first major military group to stand down, and how that took place and how you discussed it beforehand. And then I want to get into parallels with what's happening today, as I mentioned earlier. What was it like talking to the military, you know, once you got into the army, about when they did have to shoot citizens, and did you ever witness any of that?
And there was two parts. Actually, East Germany had the authorization to have 110,000 soldiers, no more. It were more, so they divided the, we would say here, border patrol, these troops from the normal army. So they were separated. It was the same minister, the same department.
So that was my next question. What type of men in these special units that would shoot their own German citizens, East German citizens, what type of people were they?
They served, normally, you had to serve 18 months in the army, everyone, unless you are sick or have a reason not to do so. And they selected people for the army, for the Air Force, and also for, let's say, border patrol, this part. They were young, 18, 19, 20, had to serve 18 years. When someone shot, he was replaced and had a different service to do. He was away from his friends, from his unit. He would not stay in the unit.
Oh, because I guess they knew that after you'd killed another citizen, yes, a lot of times you had bad feelings about it.
Bad feelings about, you would talk about, and no one should talk about. So they moved them away. I have no idea what.
Yeah, now they're giving the troops amnesiacs after they tell them kill a whole village. They give them an amnesiac. That's even come out in Wired magazine. Mm. So no one remembers. That's pretty evil.
In the last years, when I was active in service, no one would try to cross the border, because everyone knows there is no way. But when, they would shoot. This is for sure. Yeah?
What about that famous photo? Because, how could you shoot women and children? And I guess they just followed orders and did it.
Yes. Just followed orders and did it.
Now, I know the press was totally controlled, but in hindsight, you know more now. When we come back, I want to ask, were there any other stand downs or revolts that you learned about after your successful stand down on the other side? Now, obviously, Mr.
Romania is very interesting.
Well, let's talk about Romania straight ahead. Gunter Spins is our guest. We're going to be right back with him, because this is what America is facing. Make no mistake. And now it's admitted. They are training the military to wage war against the population and confiscate guns.
Yep. North to Alaska, go north to Russia's own. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92.
Gunter Spins is our guest. He's going to be on InfoWars Nightly News tonight. I'm going to do a long interview with him, and then we're going to air it at the end of the live news Thursday evening. You know, we have the news and also extended interviews like we did last night. We aired part two of the pharmacist Ben Fuchs interview. And we're going to have some breaking Oath Keeper news with Wayne Madsen that is major league dealing with the situation with Fast and Furious. Now, getting back to Oath Keepers, this is a short segment, but you were saying it'd be good to start now just on how the stand down began and how proud of you are, you know, the town that you were in and the command center that you were in, what you guys said beforehand, and then what unfolded. Yeah, so how the beginning of the Berlin Wall began. You were there.
Yes, it started in the spring, early spring in 1989. East Germany existed this time 40 years, and economy, everything was going down. And a group of people after the church in downtown Leipzig went out of the church after the service and just walked around the downtown in Leipzig. Next Monday, the same, but more people came just to watch. I mean, also Staatssicherheit was there and controlled it, but they did not expect this will continue. And they had nothing to in their hands to arrest them or something like this. They just thought this will stop and will go away. But it was not going away. It was more and more. And in the army, the service of regulation, the regulation of service, says clearly you have not to obey. It was written in the documents. You have not to obey an order against the own people or against international law. This was written. So the body, I mean, the documents were okay in East Germany. But the problem was the body didn't follow any order. We see this here too. Law is law, but you can ignore it. You enforce law you like. As we see here now, yeah, the border is actually closed. When someone comes illegal from Mexico to the United States, it's against the law, it's crime. But it's not enforced. And same was in East Germany, much more grass, because the border was always right. And therefore they had cameras there, recorded everything, just to collect information and try to find a way to stop this. But it was not stoppable because there were more and more, and every Monday, people came from other cities, close Leipzig, every Monday in the city to see and joined more. And later also as our officers from our headquarters joined, not in uniform, but I know this man. And then in October, the 7th of October, was the 40th anniversary of the Republic, East Germany. And the Monday before, it was 75,000. And when you see the numbers, Leipzig had a population of about, at this time, 500,000. And 75,000 were on the street from everywhere. They had a long way sometimes, not just from the city. And you know, the next Monday will be much more. So they tried to stop this. The Monday before, there was paramilitary units from all these companies. They had to have the trained paramilitary units, and they put them on the street with Kalashnikov, AK-47, but no ammunition. And they did not use the Stasi against, because this would have bring a revolution right now. So, they know exactly the next Monday will be more. Next Monday were 150,000 on the street. This means 1% of the whole population of East Germany were on this Monday in the city of Leipzig in the rally. This is a lot. And this was finally the fall. There was no way. There would be the next Monday maybe half the population on the street, yeah. So it was over. They had to find a solution. And on this Monday, we had a meeting in the headquarters of the army. We had a meeting and afternoon, and the commander of the Russians were also there. And our commander was Lieutenant General Bauer. He said clearly, no soldier will leave the base. There were already soldiers, paratroops in Leipzig, young guys, 18, 19, 20 years, and they were trained to use them on the street. But no one had to leave the base.
All right, stay there. This is an amazing point to stop. And you were a lieutenant colonel there who was part of this, the stand down that on record in the history books led to the fall of the Berlin Wall by people simply not acting like animals, acting like human beings. And then we'll talk about what the Stasi did once the fall happened, running and hiding. And then we'll look at parallels to what's happening here today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Classical tyranny is being set up in this country. And Gunter Spenz was a lieutenant colonel in the East German Army. He was there at the epicenter of the stand down against tyranny. And look at the headlines today. Sheriff's Department sponsored secret meeting on small government terrorist run by the ADL. And it says people that don't want big government or want their rights are terrorists. Here's another one. Daily Mail. Meet the North Dakota family of anti-government separatists busted by cops using a predator drone after, quote, stealing six cows that kept coming on their property. 3,000-acre ranch, they call living on a farm, the government calls it a compound. Even living on a farm. I'm telling you, the entire architecture of this is pointed at the American people. I've been to the urban warfare drills. You've seen my films, The Takeover, Police State 2000, all of them. You've seen it, where the military trains to take on the American people. And people are like, oh, this couldn't be real. Now it's being admitted. Ron Paul is fighting, and he said it is martial law. The NDAA is martial law. The House is set to pass it tomorrow, okay? And Obama, who said that he didn't want to sign it because he already has those powers, turns out he pressured Congress to actually add the part for American citizens in the end of Posse Comitatus and kill anybody in the world anytime they want. I mean, this is the Stasi never tried something like this. The Russians didn't behave like this. I mean, Hitler didn't put stuff like this down on paper. You know, that's Mao didn't put stuff like this down on paper. You know, as you were saying, Gunter, even in East Germany, you had all these rights on paper. The UN has all these rights on paper to get to Article 30. We have all these rights on paper. America's the first country to actually be getting rid of them on paper. This is unprecedented that Land of the Free, Home of the Brave would now become this light of evil worldwide. So let's get back to the stand down and what progressed. You said the commander of the base, if you remember, tell us his name and everything that transpired, what it was like, what you were talking about, and then what unfolded, then what the Stasi did, and the changes that took place, and then we'll get into what America's turned into from the parallels you may see.
Now, first, as I mentioned, an army soldier officer had not to obey any order against their own people, against international law. I am an oath keeper here, and when you read the 10 orders we did not obey, we are called terrorists. We were not terrorists in East Germany. In East Germany, when someone had a different meaning or tried to work against the party, he was not a patriot, he was not a terrorist, he was against the Republic.
Enemy of the Republic.
Yes, the enemy of the state, enemy of the Republic, it is actually the same. And the same happens here. When you say you stand for the Constitution, you support the Constitution, you took the oath, you defend the Constitution, wearing people, then you are close to a terrorist. Something is not right.
Listen, I have police squad car video in my film Road to Tyranny where they pull a woman over at a checkpoint and they find a pocket constitution and they get scared. They swore an oath to it. It's like a joke. I mean, even with the East German police and military, you guys weren't scared of the Constitution, were you? Somebody pulled it out and acted like it was a snake.
It was completely different in East Germany because we got teach the Constitution in the school. I learned it in the school. And then later, before you took the oath in the army, we had lessons about the Constitution, what we have to do. And then we took the oath of the Constitution and became soldier, or in my case, officer. The Constitution, everyone knows it because it was taught in the school. Everyone knows the history. Of course, a little bit different because it's the big question, who tells you the history?
Exactly. Now, I want to get back to the parallels with modern day, but let's continue. So you're there in the town where it all begins. your commanding officer says you're ordered to go out on the streets and suppress people, don't do it.
Yes, they started, the body started different ways to bring this rallies down, but there were more and more people and there was no way to bring them down. And they could not start. The Stasi could do nothing. When the Stasi would be on the street and try to arrest people, there would be a civil war. Everyone hates the Stasi. They could not do anything, not in public. And they tried to bring the army in. First, the paramilitary troops without ammunition, but with AK-47s, just standing there along the street, doing nothing, just to make a statement, give a statement. And then they brought from close to Berlin, is a base of the paratroops, parachuters and the airborne, and they brought into Leipzig.
So they were marching around with machine guns, yeah, trying to intimidate people, mm-hmm, just like our system does now.
Just making pressure.
Black uniforms, guns, German, mm-hmm, shepherds. Mm-hmm. It's not for Al-Qaeda, it's for little old ladies.
And later, they really were going to use the paratroops, the soldiers, against the people to bring them from the street. Yeah? And at the last day was the 7th of October, 150,000 on the street, which is immense for the city Leipzig. And we had an afternoon meeting, all officers of the headquarters of the army, and our commander said clearly no soldier will leave the base.
Really?
This Monday. No soldier will leave the base, including the paratroops we are there. So it was, and all the time was absolutely peaceful. Absolutely peaceful. No broken window, nothing. It's incredible when you see this. This is power.
And so when the authoritarian state's enforcers didn't enforce, the tyranny fell. But please continue. So with what happened once the military stood down?
Well, the rally was peaceful, huge rally. And the party knew this is just the beginning. The week before, 75,000. Next Monday, twice the size, 150,000. Which is 1% of the whole population of East Germany. There was no way out of the situation. And what the party did, that we have to do something. And the problem was the border. People want to leave, yeah? Leave East Germany. And the border was closed. And this was a question of the time. It would be like a civil war. And normally the party works like this. They will not give you an order in the party. They will tell you what they want, and they expect you will do the best you can to fulfill this order. So in the party, you would never say, you have to say this, you have to do this. No, you will say it's necessary, and you can do this, and give you the order, but you have to do it and decide it by your own. So fulfill the order of the party. This is all the education the party was this way. So, and that happens the following. They say, okay, we need a document. We need a solution for the situation and the border. A colonel from the, we can say, border patrol, got the order to provide a document, build a group, and provide some document for the party with a solution for this situation. And I heard him later when he explained what he said. I have no idea what I can do. There is no solution. The only solution is open the border. And he wrote the document. Everyone has the right to leave and cross the border. And the party did not even read this. Because it never happens before. He was the colonel, was a member of the party. He got the order and he expect he will do the best he can for the party to fix this problem. And he had no idea, so he wrote, everyone can leave. And the secretary of the party in Berlin, there was also a demonstration in a rally in Berlin now, Berlin and in Dresden, and the people would have an answer, and he should provide an answer, a solution for this problem. And he got this document, and he was happy. No one checked it from the party. Everyone was sure this will be the right way, because it wasn't the party. And he read, and he stopped. And then he continued. Everyone can leave with a passport, the East German Democratic Republic. And No one expected this.
So basically, because the general was told to figure out a way to fix it, he said, okay, let him go. Mm-hmm. And so it was a chain reaction. Well, a high-level party person said this, yes, that it must be okay, and that shows mm-hmm. that command and control system. Now, what did the Stasi start to do after the wall fell? You know, the people that love torturing, the people that love controlling people, love spying.
It started far before. They know exactly, they had good information. They know there will be an end. Economy was going down. Economy was going down. The rallies, more and more people. And what they did, the Stasi was also in the army. It was called Department 2000. To be honest, the Stasi had every 6 months, they had to write a document about me. I can continue the position I have or not. They have to check it. You know, is there, when they see some risk for the party, I would be moved away.
And by the way, you were arrested once by the Stasi. Yes,
I was arrested by the Stasi.
What do they do? Keep you up and stuff? What do they do to you?
No,
were you an army officer? Was a little bit better.
What he tried is to find something, you know, some evidence, which would be against our regulation of service, you know, or against the party. And this is pretty easy, you know, because as an officer, you have actually no rights, you know. In East Germany, you have rights, of course, yeah. But when you do anything, even when you look TV from West Germany, this would be a reason to lock you up. It was forbidden. It's crazy.
Verboten.
Verboten.
Wow. So what did they do to you while you were in
there? First, they tried to find some evidence. I left the base for just some service. And I got a hint I should stop at my home and have a look at my home. And I did this on the way. And the Stasi was in my apartment and searching for anything or trying to put something in. No idea what. I called the police. The Stasi got arrested. This was fun.
Oh, really?
Because they let him go, yeah. And
so the same type of stuff we see here where you call the sheriff on the feds.
Yes.
And, of course, you had warrantless wiretapping, all the same things that we now see happening here. Now, how did you get to the United States? Obviously, back then, the U.S. criticized the type of things going on in East Germany. Now they say it's like mother's milk. Tyranny is good. Freedom is bad. It's kind of flipped. And in some cases, it's going more extreme. You know, where they have Air Force aircraft scanning the evil citizens now, the whole system being used against us, a conscious move towards authoritarianism, the branding of it, all of it. What are the parallels that you see with what you witnessed growing up in East Germany, a famous authoritarian state versus the U.S. and the direction we're going?
When you see the First Amendment, I mean, I have a certain officer. It wasn't a gun show. I had my this shirt on, and the officer saw me, police officer. He was there in service, yeah, to check around, and he went away. So this is not by accident. I get the other way. He came, went away, and I said, officer, do you have a problem with my shirt? Because he looked at my shirt here. Yeah. And he just looked away, and then he came back and said, I don't want to become a target. This police officer has a problem with someone who keeps his oath. He took the oath too. Same. Yeah.
He was saying he didn't want to become a target or you're one?
He says, read it to me. I don't want to become a target. So the police officer are under pressure, at least some of them, to say, okay, I stay to my oath. I will not obey any.
Oh, no. We've confirmed, and it's come out in documents. Oath Keepers, Ron Paul, Alex Jones, they mm-hmm. sit up there with the military and police and say, these are bad men. Don't listen to them.
Yes.
Pull them over if you see this. I mean, of course, this mm-hmm. is probably the front runner in the Republican Party, and they still have manuals saying he's evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can police not know? The bad guys tell you stuff like that. I mean, this is obviously the bad guys. This is the bureaucracy that's engaged in all the crimes. But, mm-hmm. but I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Mm-hmm. Continue with your stories of parallels you see.
The next thing is, in East Germany, there are documents. You could clearly tell the party, here, this is our constitution, and here's our regulation of service, and here is written what I have to do. I have not to obey an order against constitution, against our people. You could say and control this. Yeah? Here, there's no question about you are a terrorist if you believe in the Constitution.
So it's worse. It's worse. It's more. I mean, here's the ADL having secret meetings with law enforcement saying if you talk about small government, you are a terrorist. I mean, that is obviously terrorism.
Look, and see, by the Patriot Act, they can lock you away without any reason. No evidence. You have no right to call them.
And now they want to use the military against the people.
This is the next step about the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act is extended. Actually, ran out half a year ago, and was a vote in the Congress, and they voted to extend the Patriot Act, which is absolutely against the Constitution.
Yeah.
Like when the Stasi arrested me, they had to do something after I saw them found in my apartment. So they arrested me, and our commander said, "Okay, you have 5 days." Time to the Stasi has 5 days time to provide some evidence against me, or I'm back in service.
So our government tramples on rights worse than the Stasi.
Yes. I had the right, 5 days, and they had to show evidence. They can arrest you, can arrest me here, without evidence, without any right.
What do you think of the fact that Homeland Security hired Marcus Wolf as a consultant?
Well, would work. You may need him.
Yeah, well, he died a few years after that. But the point is that they would. I mean, it's so clear cut tyranny. What do you think of the TSA? And they do violate the Constitution, Fourth Amendment, groping children, microwaving people, and now highway checkpoints.
It's completely against the Constitution.
What would have Germans have done in East Germany if they had checkpoints where they fondled your children?
There were checkpoints around Berlin in the beginning, in the first years, because there was no border. It was open shortly after the war, after World War II. But there was never checkpoints anywhere in Germany, in East Germany.
So again, we're worse than East Germany. All we have left is free speech, and they're in the news saying get rid of freedom of speech and openly Cass Sunstein calling for alternative media's arrest. I mean, they are bona fide tyrants.
The only check in East Germany was for crime, when they search for someone, but there were no regular checkpoints anywhere in East Germany. It was a socialistic state.
What would the East Germans have done if they did TSA type stuff? Would the revolt have come sooner?
Would come sooner.
So East Germans wouldn't put up with what happens in America.
There was no way. It was different.
Well, that's why I've researched the whole planet. Only North Korea is more draconian than the U.S. And it's weird, though. There's this parallel of tyranny, but then all the old vestigial freedoms are still there. But the system is demonizing it, and it doesn't matter how comical it looks. You know, here's the ADL, sir. They're here to teach the cadets that George Washington is bad. I mean, I actually have video of FEMA with ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, training manuals in Road to Tyranny, saying, George Washington, terrorist. Thomas Jefferson, terrorist. And the cops are all, I mean, saying, I mean, it's so absurd. You think it's a comedy, and it's not. They really are bad guys, and they think they're the good guys. We'll be right back. Stay with us on the other side. If you go to InfoWars.com right now, you can see all the off-the-charts important news articles and information. You can see my breakdown, Pentagon drones now targeting rural Americans. That report's up at InfoWars.com. And we've got Michael Savage withdrawing his $1 million offer because multiple states are saying it's illegal to tell Newt Gingrich to drop out for $1 million. It's obviously a tongue-in-cheek publicity stunt. That's up there. Cheney said that Obama should have attacked Iran to destroy drone. That's the guy that tried to start a war with Russia, the whole Georgia situation. Just because you're about to die, Cheney, doesn't mean all of us have to die. Also, Ron Paul outlines his campaign's secret weapon from our interview yesterday. That's up there. Iran reiterates its threat to close the Strait of Hormuz if attacked. 40 members of Congress protest indefinite detention bill. We're going to talk more today, Mr. Spins, about your experiences. But in closing, you came to the U.S. What do you think of it? Other parallels? Do you have a warning to the people? Why are you speaking out?
When I came to the U.S. again 13 years ago, to the U.S., I had no idea about America, without the normal information, and I studied first the constitution to understand the lifestyle here, understand more about politics, how it works. And the constitution, when I compare it with the constitution we had, our was new because it was 40 years old, yeah, and was actually written very well. But there's a huge difference between both, yeah, even if it was correct. The constitution in all other states, even East Germany, was written to tell how the government can rule the people. This is here completely different. We, the people, constitution is written for the people to say, keep the government out for the rights of the people. It is completely different.
The people are the sovereign, not the government.
Yes. So, and then history, how it came to the United States, the first colonies, and the Bill of Rights. When you go to the Bill of Rights, I heard a very good explanation about this, very short, from Judge Andrew Napolitano. He said, Amendment 1 says, government, you cannot do this. Amendment 2 says, government, you cannot do this. Amendment 9 says, government, you cannot do this. Amendment 10 says, and if you have someone forgotten, you can do this.
The whole thing is about binding down government. Now it's been turned all the way around backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And the media will blame the Constitution for the situation we're in. We've gotten the situation because we've ignored it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I heard our now president say the Constitution says what the government not can do. But the Constitution says not what we all can do for our people. It is not the service of the question of the government to rule our lives.
What do you think of just the open announcements that torture is good, secret arrest is good? It is like a bad dream.
It is. And I have lots of discussions with my American friends about terrorists. I mean, yes, what was the last one killed in Yemen? It was actually an American.
Yeah.
So, from my opinion, the Constitution says pretty clear. You have the right for a drill in the court. And you have to see evidence. You have to provide evidence.
Well, that's right. How do we know he was a terrorist? They told us so.
Yeah.
This precedent of we kill you and just believe us, mm-hmm, when they're a known, you know, group of known liars, they don't want a court hearing because they don't want it to come out that he worked for them.
Yes.
By the way, he did. Mm-hmm. That did come out in the news. Or the underwear bomber was gotten on the plane.
Yeah.
That's why they don't want a trial.
Mm-hmm. And this guy, the last terrorist who got killed, was never convicted with any crime. And there were two men more in the car. He killed three. With a drone. Two men more. They had no idea who they are. And I heard on TV, they have to be bad guys too when you're on the same car. There are three men.
Now they're saying the army will use the drones against us, and now they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bill hasn't even completely passed yet, and it's already happening. That's in the news. They say it's against the law, but so what? The American people will put up with anything. Tonight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News with Wayne Madsen on Fast and Furious Breaking Info.